you know, that would have improved they would have improved Assassin's Creed Odyssey if they've added a dragon for no reason.
So we could have a Greek dragon?
Yeah. Again, for no reason, dragon. Yeah. How many conflicts in within the Assassin's Creed universe would have been solved faster with the availability of a wing, a flight, a machine dragon?
I mean, it can burn Paris again.
Yeah, there we go.
It can burn everyone there. What do you mean Notre Dame is on fire, dragon? Before the fire of Notre Dame was precedented because of dragons.
Yeah, which some people say, which one? Which era?
Is it during the French Revolution? Or is it during the reign of what, King Louis?
Yes.
Or is it during the reign of Queen Elizabeth? Elizabeth II.
Yeah, during
is
the...
Is it during the tyrannical... During the tyrannical era of King Washington ke? Take a pick. Yeah. Whatever, sekarang kan multiverse, whatever.
Would Altair wield a dragon? Nah. He's gonna stay with the hawk. He's named after one. Of some sort. A hawk? A bird? Of some sort? Altair? I forgot what it means, but it is a bird thing.
I mean, Altair is like falcon, I believe.
Ah, there you go.
It's Arabic. Altair.
Toir, yeah, that's the word. Yeah, type toir on Abapil. Now I remember. Now I remember. You just need the accent to work. Okay, gotcha. Now I know. What if the Templar has dragons?
Yeah. We're literally giving Ubisoft ideas now.
And then they often just make a platformer.
Boo.
I mean, Activision will make a new one, so.
We will make our own Spyro.
No, we call it Rayman the Dragon.
Biblically accurate dragon.
Oh, funny enough, they have Fan a purple Lord. Mascot. They used to. Now that I remember, Ubisoft used to have a purple mascot. Remember Rayman? Poor Rayman.
Wait, isn't he in the final DLC? For Super Mario Rabbids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They remember the password into his model. It was super secret when only the only person that cared about Rayman left.
They forgot to find the, you know, the limbs are floating, and so it was hard to find. It was hard to assemble Rayman again, but he's here. He's sort of remembered as the side character for Rabbids. The irony of ironies. When you can see the Rabbids used to be the side character introduced in a mainland Rayman game. The tables have turned.
How the turntables.
Yes.
But which Rayman will come? Which Rayman will be in the game? The talking Rayman?
I have no answer to that, but I have an answer to... No, I also don't have an answer to that. But... On that note, I guess that's the start. Welcome to Dialogue, the Gamer Matters podcast.
Welcome.
Episode 138. Recorded on June 30th, 2023.
The last day of June, yeah, nice.
Yeah, we are like halfway through the year already.
Damn.
Damn, time flies.
Hope you guys compiled the list. We'll be complying, we
Oh
complying.
no. What, the trash fire? Yeah, of course I'm compiling the list. What do you read?
Good, good, good to know. Good to know. Keep the fires burn. Let the cinders burn. How does that thing again go? Whatever lah. I don't know where to go with that. So let's go with the thing that we know how to go. Introducing the panel. We have Daniel over there.
Hello, welcome from the FOV
On the
in the remote location.
other side is Anan.
Hello. Also, I'm remote now in undisclosed location around Kedah.
And I am Amirul Mekronos Ashraf, holding the fort. Meanwhile, I'm not physic I'm physically here, but spiritually I'm somewhere else now. I have a
Oh yeah.
lot in my backlog, and I need to finish them off quickly as we enter July. I mean, there's nothing in July actually, but things stuff is pending, and we should clear off. Makes the content delivered to you, the listeners and audience. But yeah, video games.
Video games, yes.
Yes, video games. Should we go with the elephant in the room or
Yeah, you should go to the room.
the biggest elephant in the room? By
The
now.
one that, yeah, the one that, the Final Fantasy, part 16. Remember when it was supposed to end it at Final Fantasy 1? I also remember.
16
Even though I
gate.
wasn't born, even though I wasn't born that time as well, Yulina.
16 games later, it keeps chugging on. It keeps chugging on. The biggest reality of a Final Fantasy that it will never be a final game.
I mean, it's funny, like, oh, how did they like came up with the name? Oh, this is gonna be our like magnum opus, so let's call it Final Fantasy. 16, 20 games later, I don't know.
I've heard the stories, but I'm not sure if it's like factually true these days or more like urban legend, because it was from what I heard, it was supposed to be the Hail Mary. Okay, like this is the last game we're gonna ship as Squaresoft, and this will be just call it what call it Final Fantasy lah, and then it became a hit, and they make a new one, and another. Go and check around for if that story is true or not, but that is what I've heard. But I guess but that's the fun of Final Fantasy, because the mainline games, because apparently there are no spin-offs for that. Because usually it was because Final Fantasy as a series, the only constant thing is that it has a Final Fantasy theme, that there are Final Fantasy isms that continue, that carry on from game to game. But everything about each numbered entry is its own universe, it's its own universe, it's a standalone game. You don't have need to have prior knowledge of everything, so you don't have to play all the 15 Final Fantasies before it. No, do not. And I don't actually recommend starting from one unless you want to play the old Famicom games. I remember playing Final Fantasy 1 on the phone, a dumb phone. Because it was ported
Yes.
there was a Java version, so yeah, it has gone through a lot, that series. But there are like various elements that makes a Final Fantasy a Final Fantasy, but there are a lot more other things that they are free to change around. Who are the main characters? Varies. How big is the party? Varies. What setting is that? Varies. How do you play the game? Varies from game to game. So they can do whatever they want as long as they are like series veterans know what to look for from a Final Fantasy game. They'll know. And they'll
Yeah.
also know that Final Fantasy 16, despite it being on paper, one of the jarring, most different title to be as a numbered game, is still a Final Fantasy game. I know I joke on the docket, I'm calling it Icon May Cry featuring Clive from the Final Fantasy series, but hear me out, it's a Final Fantasy game. So where do we start? You guys have any questions? Or I could just ramble.
You just ramble around. I'm not exactly familiar anyway.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, you might like, yeah, same as well. Because my last Final Fantasy, if you, it's 15.
15 is okay.
I mean, Roti Canai. Roti Canai.
Oh, Roti Canai. Put a note on that. I'm not gonna say anything more. I'm just saying put a note on that. And let's, we're gonna, okay, for you listeners, there will be another portion of this part of the podcast at the end where it's just Final Fantasy 16 spoilers. Not the ending of the game, I haven't finished it yet, but just stuff regarding the story and something that may be cool. But I guess that, that's not a spoiler when you say Roti Canai. So I can say, yeah, the setting of Final Fantasy 16 is robust enough that there are flatbreads in the game.
The ancestors of Roti Canai, okay, makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it is brown.
The great uncle.
It is brown enough. You can see the crispiness on the top, man. You can just, blink your eye a little bit and you can see that there's a Roti Canai lah. There's even a sign.
Yeah. The great uncle of Roti Canai.
I mean, Roti Canai is a flatbread. And there's a sign there where you go into the one of the bakeries that you can find like stacks upon stacks of Roti Canai. It just says, once you go flat, dot, dot, dot. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but there is a sign. I just like, okay, you putting a lot more love for flatbreads than I expected, but you know what? The legacy of Roti Canai lives on.
Hey.
I will write that article once I'm done with this game. For now. Okay. For the longest part of the series history, the game has been inching closer and closer to be an action game.
Yes.
Even like, I cannot remember what game. Is it 4 or 5? Definitely 6 has it. The introduction, what they have called the active time battle system?
I think around 6. Yeah, I think around 6.
I know 6 for sure, but maybe 5 or 4, I cannot. I'm,
five,
I
yeah,
don't
yeah,
remember.
Probably yeah, 5 or 4.
So between those games, then, because the series is supposed to be a very strict turn-based RPG, to the point that it has become the, what you say, the foundation, the blueprint of what we define as a Japanese RPG, for better or worse. I know some people still hate that term, but just hear me out. We're gonna talk about this. So, from that active time battle system, they keep on inching closer and closer. Let's try and make it more action, more action. I think 15 is there already. It's an action RPG. But it's still an action RPG in the veins of Kingdom Hearts. So you still have to do, that. I think there is, I cannot remember now. But I do remember, like, you can still issue party members directions, I think. You can issue commands to them, maybe, yeah. I think. FF7 Remake does that. But still, that the point is that it's still an RPG here and there. But it's not really, even the real-time combat is still not like proper action game yet. Maybe 7 Remake is good, but that's not a mainline entry for this discussion lah. So for 16, they decided to like, hey, why not we recruit one of the best guys? One of the guys that from Capcom that have done a lot of character action games. That have done Devil May Cry, that have done Dragon's Dogma. Hey, why not recruit that guy? I forgot his name, but you know it. I probably put it in the description or somewhere. Make him lead the charge in designing the battle system. And you know what? The battle system is definitely Devil May Cry. It feels like a character action game.
I mean, if you take, if you recruit the designer for that specific game, of course, it's gonna infuse fanaticism with his creation.
Can, but I would have thought, yeah, they would have gone Dragon's Dogma, because Dragon Dogma is sort of character action, but it still feels like an it's still like an RPG. You still have party members. You still. So, but this one, they really want to go, instead of Dragon's Dogma, no, we do Devil May Cry and figure out how to put RPG elements on top of it. That's how the way it goes. To show you how much of a character action it is, you have two buttons for attacks. It's a melee and it's a range attack. And the usual Final Fantasy staples, yeah, you know, you can use magic, yeah. So magic, and they have the elemental. Yeah. Okay, you have no way of changing the elemental other than changing the icon, which we will get later. So for now, if you have an equip, let's say the Phoenix, which is fire elemental, your magic will be fire. And if you hold it, it becomes Fira. So it's charged shot, and you can do the level 2 version of fire. And then what? Oh, there's a dodge button. The dodge button is on R1. Very character action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not circle, but circle with is the it's called the iconic feat. Iconic as in icon, as in the magical beings in the Final Fantasy
world.
Oh my
god.
E-I-K-O-N. Ooh. They use the pun.
God damn it.
So in Final Fantasy, they used to have like different names for the summons. Some, I forgot the few that they're like, different games have different names, but for this one, they call it icons. And I guess it used to be weird, yeah, because they never pronounced the game the name, because it was used in games where it doesn't have voice acting yet. So you call it icon, yeah, or icon? I guess they went with icon because they can do the puns. Iconic ability, iconic feat, iconic punishment.
Oh my god.
My god, so corny.
Okay, let's meander. The writing is really, really interesting. They went hard into the British accents and
the British.
Some people say call blimey.
Oh no.
Would you like a bottle of water?
One of them said a bit of a bottle. One of them said a bit of a bottle.
Oh no.
Like that, innit? And because
like
this
that actual other in it, oh my god.
Yeah. And the first this is the first time I discovered there's an alternative spelling for ain't, which is apostrophe NT, ain't.
Okay, that's the first for me.
Yeah, so they went deep. And there's a lot of lines where the subtitle says like, oh my glass, but the character just said, my glass. It's me, it's not my. So
improvise.
Yeah. Oh, they went hard. Like the commoner people and who are there, they speak like proper British. Even because now the game is M for mature, they can swear and they swear proper. You know that one guy will say like, oh fuck me, like oh, all right, me. Oh proper. Oh, they
fuck
went hard.
Me with a fork.
Fuck
me with the fish box sideways.
And the puns, it even extends to the quest names. There's a literal side quest called Pork and Bowl.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
Not the spelling as you expect. It is spelled like, hold on. Cork is like, oh my god.
C-O-R-K-E,
I don't know. It's T-A-U-L-K, something like that.
Or cock.
And then ball is spelled with B-A-W-L. Yeah. It's a side quest where you find some stuff to like cover holes.
Yeah, I mean, cork is like the thing you squeeze to cover holes. Cork.
And I guess ball is something rather or other lah. So,
did someone like scream or cry in that quest?
Yeah. The quest giver is complaining a lot. Yeah, I guess so. It works.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Technically, he's balling.
He do be balling.
Oh yeah, I remember. He's like he's swearing a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what? You just if you want. It's interesting for that reason alone. The localization went hard on the British. I mean, it's not entirely unique. I've heard JRPGs that have gone full British before. In a matter of fact, Final Fantasy XII is like very British because of, you know, they were Star Wars influenced there, so they made all the evil guys British because of, I don't know, British is evil, I guess. But guess what?
Okay, maybe it's like being classy evil is cool.
Yeah. And I think for another example of a JRPG, the Xenoblade Chronicles series, I've heard British accents there. They went hard there.
We got Egobu in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Egobu in Japan.
Egobu.
I mean, the main character's name is Clive Rossfield. Who
that's
has
the
come
most
up?
Basic ass British name, Rosefield. Yeah, that's a basic ass British name.
They try really hard to like, okay, let's give him the most commonest British name that you can get that works for a high fantasy setting that is sort of based off medieval Europe. Okay, it works. The Latin.
If you're an immigration officer, like that name, like nah, this is like so generic. Okay, you're here in Malaysia to go vacation or something like that.
I mean, okay, what else generic names for English? Like anything Clive, from the Bible,
essentially,
I guess.
Clive, yeah.
Jeremiah.
Clive, Jeremiah, Anderson. Oh, wait,
Elijah.
Yeah, like Matthew. Oh my god.
On top of my head nah, the closest crew. You have a Jill, you have a Joshua, you have a Sid.
Joshua.
Sid is a Final Fantasy ism, so you should have a Sid,
yeah,
and
a
there
Fantasy,
is a Sid. There is a Sid in this game.
There is a Sid, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Sidolphus this time. Sidolphus.
Sidolphus
Talamon. There's a Karen spelled with a CH. Lady
Karen.
Karen,
okay. Yeah, Karen. Charon.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, there's a lot of names that spell that pronounce maybe different than how you expect it spelled. There's a lady named Tarja. 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 I thought it was so Darja. No, Tarja. Tarja.
It's Tarja. Tarja.
Tarja. Tarja.
There's Goods. I think it's spelled like goats. It's like goods. Like goods. So yeah, they really go in with for the flavor of British. But it's not just the British realm that is covered. The land is called Valestia. Around there lah.
Mm-hmm.
It's and dotted around the regions, there are like different nations, different cultures. Of course, you have the one in the desert, and guess what? They have a Middle Eastern vibe, or North African maybe. Of course. And then you have the Duchy of Rosaria, where our boy Clive is residing, has that air of maybe British. I guess it's a duchy. So, you know, and then over to the north, not to the north, because north is a dead land. There's a whole thing that have been through that land already. Northeast is the theocracy is it the kingdom? No, it's not the kingdom. The empire of Sambrek. And the term for that, people from Sumbrek are called the Sumbrekois. So, you know.
It's like Quebec.
Like Quebec, yeah,
that,
yeah.
Quebecois.
Yeah, yeah, that there's regal Frenchness to the aesthetic. No, but they still speak British accents.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the name also, like, one of the guys there is called Dion Lassange. So, there's
oh,
air of Frenchness there.
En français.
Mm-hmm. And somewhere over the streets of Auta is called the Kingdom of Walud, spelled as Waloed, but Walud. I have no idea what that place is still. We haven't seen much. You see them in the early game, and then they're gone. Probably in the end game, they'll appear back. So I have no idea. They are on a separate continent. By the way, I think on that Discord, on our group again, I posted the map of Valestia, and you know what? I kept looking at this, and it reminds me, weirdly, it reminds me of home. It reminds me of Malaysia for some reason. And let me,
I can see it.
Okay, let me walk you through this. What are you seeing there again? Okay, you see the two continents again?
Yeah.
Okay, on the east side, look at that picture again. Okay, you see the black stuff again. Okay, those are basically no one is living there. So look at how the border comes up, the way it shapes again. It reminds me of Borneo. It reminds me of Sabah and Sarawak. And the fact that there's the capital there at the top, I now feel like the Kingdom of Balut now reminds me of the Sulu Sultanate for no reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. Okay. Okay. Let's move to the western continent, the bigger one. Okay. You see there's like the white parts in the southern part, kan? Those are all deserts. Mm-hmm. All of them are deserts, and those people in the deserts are filthy rich, and they have a lot of authority. They have a lot of authority in the world politics. I don't know why. Why do I reminds me of Johor for whatever reason? And you know what's crazier? Oh, no. Even Southern, there's the southern tip. Not the there's one small part on the southern tip of the continent. Kan? There's a free city, an independent free city, a very small city. It's called the City
Singapore.
Of Canberra. Oh yeah, and it's also like a center of mercantile.
Sus.
Okay.
Is this like a, I don't know, a long term legacy of Wan Hazmi?
Okay.
The remnants are still there.
Okay, to the north, man. I mentioned the north is something like people don't live there, right? Like people don't live there in the Northern Territories anymore. It's gone due to the blight or something. So if there are even people, the population is very small.
Or less.
Oh no.
And I mentioned this set on the east again. Somewhere east, you can see there's like a cliff, white cliff there again. That's the Empire Sumbrek. I mentioned it's a theocracy. They believe in God.
Oh God, Klate. Klate, bro.
The remnants are true. It's all to elevate.
Nah, the thing is, I still don't know Rosaria. Rosaria is the western part where you can see there are rivers around there. I'm still not sure if Rosaria is supposed to be Kedah or Selangor.
I think it's Selangor, like Sungai Kelang.
But there are a small, you know, it's a small duchy trying their best to survive. So you can say there lah. So you know what, maybe it is the legacy of Wan Hazmi we're looking at here. Is this why Yoshi-P is arriving in KL tomorrow? Is it because of this? Valestia has been inspired by Malaysian geography all this while. I don't know, man. This is what happened when I am isolated from all the discussions of Final Fantasy and I'm like concocting these weird wild theories. I'd rather it be so. If not, probably this theory is going to be shut down. But man, this is like wild. Oh, this really reminds me.
I mean, the similarities are uncanny.
I mean, still, there is like one difference. Like, you know that thing in the middle again? Oh, there's actually a city there. So you don't have we don't have a city that basically bridges between the peninsula and Sabah Sarawak. We don't have that here.
Wait, we do have the islands of Riau.
Okay. Okay.
Let me check again.
I mean,
Riau, where is it?
I mean, I do
yeah,
know.
Yeah, Riau Islands. We have Riau Islands.
I do
but it's
know.
Like small island.
There is existence of small islands here, but it's not as a big of a player in like comparing to Valestia, where this place is the center. It's basically this is the part where there's a treaty for no war. So they have an agreement for that. I forgot what the Concord. Nah, there is an agreement for that. They call it
Concord agreements.
Oh, is it a court that I keep remembering? Something, a court or something. But whatever lah.
Yeah, I mean, they can just take any creative liberty, whatever.
I mean, it's not necessarily one-to-one to Malaysia, but because of one thing, people are warring non-stop here in Valestia. There is like, when you play Final Fantasy 16, you're not only going for a journey, a very personal journey of Mr. Clive Rossfield and what happened to him, but you also like have to like follow the wild political maneuvering of the many different nations vying for power. Like, it opens with a war, like a battle, and then it cuts to people, like the leaders arguing about battle strategies or war treaties for whatever, and they have to discuss what are we going to do when this nation is doing this. And then you see some suggestive stuff, because you know the game is M for Mature, and with M for Mature, what they do is, you know, they mention that they there's a big Game of Thrones ish vibe coming to FF16.
Yeah.
It clearly that there's a lot of vibes there, because they use a lot of sex and violence.
Oh no.
I mean, there's implication of people in the bed. You don't see the act being committed, but you do see them not fully clothed, and that includes our boy Clive. You get to see his butt.
Yeah.
Maybe not a close up, but it's enough to say like, oh yeah,
How close is it? Kasuga close or?
Kasuga is closer. Kasuga is the better reveal.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, they do fan service well. I mean, you see some of the women, you see more of the men. Naked men.
Thank you. Very cool, Yakuza. Thank you for putting on the president. More men butt. The audience loves it.
Yeah, especially if the hero is good looking and okay, show them the butt. Okay, and then yes, there is a lot of use of violence, as in like, oh, you see like blood being spilled for the first time in Final Fantasy, I guess. Maybe there is, I forgot, but this one feels more brutal. And they are not afraid to show children being at risk. Children are being in some scenes where violence may have happened to them. I mean, that didn't show anything terrible, but it is implied that children are also not being treated well. So, yeah. I mean, some of the scenes are there for shock value, unfortunately. I feel like, oh yeah, they're just gonna, like, god damn it. They just wanna, like, make you, like, and then go, like,
damn, like,
They use that trick once in a while, which is, like, oh, come on. But it is not like too much to the point that it makes you inundated from seeing so much of that. They pace it out. They pace it out. And the best thing, I guess, for Final Fantasy 16 is that they managed to pace out a character action game to be an RPG length. Like, this game is more than 30 hours long. And no, you are not going to be smoking six styling every moment of the way. Like, you know how a character action game usually is a linear experience where you just go from level to level to level to level kan. So what they do in Final Fantasy 16 is that you still have an open, well, not an open world, but you know, there is a field that you can like explore around. You do a lot of fast travel to move around the world, because it's not all, it's not fully open world. It's not like full, the whole world is one map. But there is still enough open area to explore. Essentially like a Final Fantasy game before 15. And before 13. Maybe 12, maybe, yeah, but bigger. So it's like that. So you do a lot of those stuff from time to time where you just explore around town, do quests, and then, oh, you travel to this one particular area. Okay, this is the level. This is the game. This is the part where they put a lot, most of the money from the budget into the game. All the scenes here are cinematic instead of the usual short reverse shot using the can animations, because there's a lot of that in the RPG portions. And then the action moments are, as you expect, a very linear experience. You go corridor to corridor, not necessarily a long corridor. They know how to like make it don't feel like you just going from room to room, area to area, to just okay, battle time. Finish, move to the next room, battle time. They pace it out, but you know, you can expect, okay, first few waves, easy. And then you have a mid boss, and then you get to easier enemies, and then you get to another boss, and then the finale, whatever that finale means. It can be a boss fight, it could be something else. Depends. And through all that, there's a lot of like very good story beats being told. So you see all the expensive cutscenes, the extravagant set pieces being done. So it's all there. And most interestingly, those highly curated levels are replayable. And you don't even need to beat the game. You just go to in your hideout, there's like one place where you can like touch a stone, and then suddenly, oh, you can go to a training mode, which any character action game should have. It has. And then there's an arcade mode where you can replay all the levels and post a high score. In the normal game, you can do like specific actions where it will say like, oh, this is cool stuff, 1 star, 2 star, 3 star, but it will never like put you, it will never rank you. It will never say, oh, you get A rank, S rank on this encounter or not. Because they put it all into the arcade mode. That's where you, if you want to go for the smoking stick styling gameplay, where you want to like get a better score for playing really, really well, that's your place.
Yeah.
The story mode, the main story is that you just focus on the story. It's fine. If you don't want to smoking stick style, no worries. Just play. Do whatever. But there are caveats though, when they made FF16 more of a character action game rather than an RPG. And a lot of time I feel that whenever the design team figure out, okay, should we lean into character action or we should lean into RPG, most of the yes. time no, they didn't say yes. Most of them, they say character action.
Character action. Oh, that's interesting.
So like the RPG elements are the word stifle. Because it feels restrained. It's there, but it's not a lot. Like the way, you know, every Final Fantasy game will have like something like a skill tree of some sort. Man. Especially starting with 10, because 10 started out the sphere grid, which is a wild way to present a skill tree. It's still one of the best ways to present a skill tree. Shout out to Path of Exile for keeping that alive. But this one, you don't have a lot of abilities to mess around with. And the way you get new abilities is all story lock rather than level lock. So you have to progress a certain portion of the game before, oh yeah, we got new moves to play with. Yes, now I can customize my moves. It takes a long while to get new moves. But in that way, in the other way around looking at it, that means that you just have more time to play around with the tools you have. Like in character action games, usually, you keep betting moves. Too many moves. And you can't decide how, okay, how do I use this? Oh, never mind. New toy. Get a new weapon. Alright. okay, I just like, I think I understand how to work with it. No, no. Okay, new gun. Okay. But this one, they really let you take your time, like figure out the... Because each icon have like 3, 4 different skills, I say. I think it's called like iconic ability, let's just say skills. Because it's a button press and another button press. And it has a cooldown. So basically skills lah. So you have 4 of them for each icon, but you can only equip one for one icon, 2 of them. And you can have 3 icons that you can cycle through. So you have like 6 skills that you can like mess around at one time. There is limited, so you can't use all the skills, so you have to play with loadouts. So that's, I guess, the RPG bit lah. You can like tinker around which build you want. Okay, do you want this skill is good for attacking one enemy because it's literally you punching the guy over and over and over. It's just a shame that Clive doesn't go ora 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 ora. But there is a literal hand that appears like a stand and you just go and then punch. So, and there are multiple different skills that have that sort of, okay, this is for one enemy, this is for multiple enemies, this is for long range, this is for short range. So I guess that's the RPG bit you can mess around with. But it unlocks so slow. Really, really slow. Yeah, my biggest problem with Final Fantasy 16 so far, which is I'm quite far in the game right now, is that the RPG beast is kind of slowing the game now.
No.
I mean, for good reason, because I have encountered one of the final, one of the stages, it ends on a really high note. Astronomically high, some may say. So you need a breather after that. But man, the breather is just doing fetch quest after fetch quest after fetch quest. The quests are unfortunately mechanically not fun, but it makes up for the story bit. Because there are a lot of like intriguing story elements that you discover. The reward is not whatever reward gameplay wise you get. The reward is learning more about the world. Because Velestia is one messed up country. Well, and I should mention, Velestia is not the whole world. It's just, it's a temporal situation. There are other lands out there. I think the world is still called Gaia or something. Which is, again, a Final Fantasy thing.
Yeah.
But the whole conflict is just on this two continents that are considered as one. Some they colloquially call it the twins. Yeah, Final Fantasy 16. Interesting. Is it game of the year?
Contentious. Yes.
Contentious, but I think yeah, it could be in top 30, yeah.
I say top 10. Well, let's put it.
Ooh, that's brave. That's courage.
Yeah, it can be top 10, but it depends lah. I may have to swing that vote when we talk about the story, which we have to stop here. And you guys with you the audience will listen to the regular episode. So yeah, what's next?
I don't know. Where do we go from here? That was. Anyway.
Yeah, play Icon May Cry.
Icon May Cry, yeah, play.
You're gonna cry.
You're gonna cry?
Not from difficulty, I assure you. I should have mentioned earlier. The game's sufficiently challenging but not too hard. Yeah, where will we go from here?
How about something familiar? How about something that we have played many times over the course of the last, I don't know, 20? Not 20. Is it 20? No. 10 years. actually.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah. It's a game everybody knows and love. Will it get replaced when their next game comes out? Probably not. It is the one eternal game of one Mr. Todd Howard. And it's Skyrim. Haha.
Ah, we're going back to Skyrim.
Yeah, we're going back to Skyrim. The highest of the high. Now we're back to the lowest of the low.
I mean, technically, isn't Skyrim the highest point in Tamriel?
Is it though?
Is it?
Have
is
you
it
seen
not?
My playthrough?
Oh. I mean, geographically speaking.
Yeah, geographically speaking, yeah. Yeah, it's the highest point of Tamriel.
Like, what's the mountain there with the 1,000 steps, 10,000 steps? That's the highest point in Tamriel again?
Yeah.
Or is it in Morrowind? I don't know.
Everything's already messing. Everything's all now coming in. It's now meshing together. Oh no.
Look, I just went from learning geography and history from one game, so now I'm gonna implement it on another. Oh man. Learning history is fun when you have very good diagrams, is what I'm seeing.
We need the Venn diagram, yeah. We need. I think
Skyrim
has those
diagram.
Venn diagrams. Yeah, we need a diagram. Skyrim has those Venn diagrams.
Yeah, Skyrim.
Yeah, so I've been playing the Switch version of the Skyrim game. And they have updated recently to add in the special features, aka the special edition modes that was included in, I think, when the current gen version released late last year. Correct me if I'm wrong. But the only thing that is more important in this update is also my newest obsession that I've had in any video game, and that is fishing.
Oh.
Skyrim has fishing now.
Whoa. Oh, fishing.
And it's you need to have, because I think like in the first original release, you can get a fishing rod, but that counts as a weapon. Now with this new update, you can get a fishing. You have to get fishing supplies, like, you know, worm bait and all. And then you can start fishing. How long do you fish? It's so weird. It's button prompt based, just like another game that is called Destiny as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you wait until the bubble goes down? Or...
Yeah. Just like
simplistic.
Yeah, just like in Red Dead, just like in Destiny, just like in Warframe.
For some reason, Dark Cloud comes to mind, but that's my first
impression.
My first encounter of fishing mini game, I guess, that I actually got into proper. Yeah. Where do you fish to? What spots?
There are some spots in the location of the game. So like they will show you, oh yeah, it's here. So you can go fishing there. There's also like there's a quest, a bounty quest, so that they want, let's say this tavern wants a pork fish or a salmon. Yeah, you have to fish there. Can back then, I think like in the original release, you can just grab them in the water and then you have, oh yeah, insert fish one.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
You have to do the thing now. Yeah, you have to do the thing, the tackle, the tackle, the swing, and then the waiting.
I'm guessing you're gonna do a lot of fishing in the southeast portion of the map, which is less snowy. Yeah. Can I forgot
yeah,
what the
pretty
name
much,
is. It's the optimal place. Let me Google the Skyrim map again.
Yeah, speaking about that, I want to go to a bit of a tangent as well, because speaking of fishing, the recent Destiny 2 season is now coming up to the fifth, like the final week. And last week was the first time that they have a competition. It's not like a competition, it's like, do you remember Guardian Games, Ken, where you have to get a certain number of points so that you can get into gold, silver, and platinum?
Uh-huh. Oh, they did
so
a fishing tournament.
Yeah, they did a fishing tournament.
Yo, we deep in there. Oh my god, fishing. Oh, this is the culmination of all the fishing games, and we should have a fishing tournament.
Fishing tournament, yeah. So like there was a content, yeah, there was a like a very interesting, like the first person to get platinum, I think that like, gets a skin or whatever, or is an exotic as well. So this tangent starts with me buying the season pass. Like, why not? You know how many fish I caught? Yeah, you know how many fish I caught over the course of that 1 week before the Raya one?
35.
No, up more.
More? 99.
More?
250.
250, yeah?
Okay. 250 in how much time? 2 hours?
2 days? 72 hours?
So there's a lot of waiting time then.
Yeah, a lot of waiting time.
Oh man.
And the best part, I got like 3 exotics. Some people didn't even get exotic, like exotic weapons, because if you fish for it, you have a chance to get an exotic. And some people didn't even get the exotic drop.
While you can just fish for exotic, right? Rather than farm for exotic, you fish.
You fish the agricultural game.
Right. That's the title of this episode. The farm you fish. Fascinating.
Yeah, so like, since it is Raya, right? ID Adha, so like, I didn't, because their location from the last 4 weeks varies. So the first week was in the EDZ, the Earth Zone. Second week, I was, I think, in Mars. So I don't know how you get fish in Mars, but the game makes it weird. So don't worry about it. The third week was in Savathun's Throne World, which is like a swampy area, you know, Shrek-ish. And this week, for the final week of the season, it's at the Vex, the home Vex homeworld. So we are literally fishing in Vex milk.
Oh man, fishing the milk. Do you get cereal out of it?
I don't know.
Alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup. Like, the funniest part, like, the variedness of it is also very interesting. Like, the lowest you can get is a fish called, at least it's a carp. You know, ha ha ha, Bungie, ha ha ha, it's, at least it's a carp. It's one fish. And, like, the rarest one is, I think, like, it's a weird name, it's a salmon something. And somehow, toads counts as fishes as well. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right.
Lobster counts as a fish as well. Also, don't worry about it.
Okay, that makes more sense. Despite it doesn't...
Shellfish.
Shellfish, yeah. Oh my god. I think, yeah, you can get lobster as well. So there is lobster in the Destiny universe. Good to know. Frogs as well.
Frogs confirm.
Frogs confirm. Like, meanwhile, I'm also skipping through, like, one of the biggest lore dumps in Destiny history. But we don't talk about that. Oh my god. Everything, we should have been in the original DLC, but hey ho. I guess this is how they want to do it.
Oh, fishing has a loot table as well, huh?
Yeah, fishing has a loot table. Yes, that's correct.
Impressive. They went this hard on fishing.
What will they farm next?
What are the... that's a good question. What are the other menial tasks that can be gamified for loot? We have farming, we have fishing. Oh yeah, hold on. We have this conversation before. Hold on.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
can it? Never mind. We've done this bit before.
I mean, does the loot, does the trash in Like a Dragon 6 count as exotic smuggler? Or that's just trash?
I don't remember. I haven't done No, I haven't played 6, so I don't know about the fishing
No,
there.
not 6, 7. Yeah, in like a dragon. Yeah, cause
Oh, yeah, like a
yeah,
dragon, eh?
that's right.
Yeah, like a... I cannot remember about the fishing, funnily enough.
I remember. Yeah, I remember Kazuga getting a green, getting a fish, but I don't remember what do they have drop rates for the fish.
Let me Google that real quick, just for curious.
Oh
Yeah.
my god.
Not that, yeah, I do recall spending time with the fishing minigame. Let me check.
Because it is already part of the JRPG, the JRPG trailer, so nobody cares anymore. I know Persona has it. Because I've been doing fishing on Persona 4 as well, so my god. Fishing.
Oh, this is gonna be hard to Google because of, SEO problems. So now I Google Yakuza like a dragon, it just appeared like a dragon Isshin, a recent entry of the game. Oh, God
Yeah.
damn. At least good to know the latest one has fishing.
Yeah. Automata does have grading. It's just like you can just sell the fish. Yeah, that's what I remember. Animal Crossing has. Animal Crossing has fishing with grading so that you can get more money from Top Nook.
Okay, confirm. No fishing in Like a Dragon. Yakuza Like a Dragon. Yeah, Like a Dragon 7.
Like Dragon 7.
Ah, the naming. Yeah, that's why I don't
Yakuza
remember.
6, yeah. Yakuza
It's
6 has.
6.
Yeah, Yakuza
7
6
doesn't
has.
have. 7 doesn't have.
Come on, Sega. You need fishing. This is JRPG.
Yeah,
I
it's.
need my Ichiban to have butt as Nick and holding up. Yes. Very specific for that one slice of audience again that likes both of them.
Now that I mention it, give our boy Kasuga, Ichiban Kasuga, the one outfit which is the birthday suit. Give him the birthday suit. Let us equip the birthday suit and just have a sensor bar all
Sizzle
the
style, yeah, Sizzle style.
time. Nobody complains in the cutscene. No one mentioned anything, but you just see him naked with the sensor bar. That's it. It will be silly.
Yeah, so that is my rambling off for the week. I can't believe we somehow got it from Skyrim. We somehow got into Yakuza, but hey ho, that's how we do
It
it.
is the RPG corner.
It is the RPG corner. It is the RPG week, if we count like the Final Fantasy stuff as well.
Somehow we've loaded the rocket on this one, so we should move to the
Yes,
news.
I should move to the news.
The news.
Nothing much since it is the end of not E3. Literally just ends. Today is the last day of not E3, thanks to Annapurna. But we have some very spicy and juicy stories from a certain company that wants to buy out another certain company to the dismay of another certain company, which now involves the US government. For good measure.
Xbox, you still cannot annex Activision, not yet.
No,
We are in
we
an
have to go to
impasse.
court. We are in the impasse.
Is
So
laying
yeah,
siege.
Sony is sitting there like, please no.
Excuse me, I've been down in the military law for so long. So, excuse the metaphors. So yeah, what's happening?
So it has been, I think, a week. Yeah, it has been 1 week of them. I'm not saying deliberate. They are literally arguing, popcorn arguing o each other over who gets what, like a divorce punya settlement. And like the best part, kan, both Sony has done some fucky wacky, and even Xbox has done some fucky wacky as well. So like both of them are dumbasses. Not to mention as well, the US government, the FTC, is also doing a fucky wacky on their own as well. So now it is like, if I were the judge, I would have a massive headache because these three are dumbasses. So, where to begin? Any questions? Any point that you want to start begin?
Okay, I seen in the docket, kan? Okay, let's start with the money.
Oh, the money, okay.
I guess this is the first time we see what a triple A game
yes. Is supposed to
be. Oh, yeah.
What does the triple A stand for?
Yeah, we finally, okay, so in, I think like day 3 or 4 of the hearing, Sony did the fakiwaki, and that they haven't redacted the price, their documents correctly. So when they scan it on the computer, we get to see the prices of Horizon Forbidden West, the newest Horizon game, and 2020's The Last of Us Part 2. Both were in-houses, in-house studios. So yeah, I mean, Guerrilla Games and Naughty Dog. Both of them are priced at around $220 million from start to finish.
Say that again?
It's the price, is it?
Yeah, the price.
Yeah, $220 million.
Ooh.
For each game, both games.
That's each more than
cost 2020.
That's more than 1 year running an F1 team is you legally allowed to.
Pretty much.
F1 is a big money sport, man. People see it. Oh, it's the glitz, the glamour. Look at all the rich kids, the rich people are putting all the money, the talents, and be around here again. Now look at how much video game costs this to make.
Yeah, to make one. To make one game is $220 million.
So that's triple A. That's why they say triple A. Now the accounting jargon makes sense.
Yeah. Also, you have to mind that both these games are cross-gen now. So far, that's the For Horizon Hero Best is a cross-gen game, so they're making it for two. It might go up, it might go down when they fully move to like new gen, current gen tech. We never know.
But at least we know this point. This is like a good point of reference to see how big these big games are. Yeah, this big.
Hella big, yeah. Hella big.
And say that 200 million spread around a couple of years. Market, so
yeah, like 4 years. No, Last of Us is 6 years, 2014 to 2020.
Oh, does it count marketing budget?
I think so, yeah.
It should be.
Yeah, it should be. So it means the all total together is 220.
Okay, that's interesting also, because if we know how much of that pie is dedicated to just marketing, or how much of it is dedicated to the development of the game. Because you know how the big budget games usually have more marketing push. So,
yep.
Not only just
Casey from the point Final Fantasy, yeah? Casey Point Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, how much do Sony pay for the exclusivity deal? I wonder.
Oh, yeah. That's what I want to do as well.
It must be a good enough sum for Square Enix to say, let's hold on the Xbox and PC ports if we have one. Let's focus on PlayStation, because they pay off a good chunk of development here for this.
Okay, so now we have seen the fucky-wacky from the blue side. Now for the green side. Ooh, the green side, again, they have done a lot of things. Like last year, according to one of their documents, again, that they showed to the court, they have missed their revenue forecast by $780 million. Which, almost $1 billion loss is amazing. God damn.
Does it mean that they are not making money, or they didn't get enough money than expected?
They didn't get enough money than expected, because they are making $17 billion a year of the fiscal year 21-22, but they lost out due to this current argument, they lost out revenue by 780 million. Which is a lot of money, which is still a lot of money, by the way. That's it's a million. It's still a lot more money than you and I can imagine.
The fact that they have lost that much money just to make this purchase go is astounding. Alah, it's just a small fee, yeah, a billion.
No, almost they already a billion. Yeah, God almost a billion loss. And then, like, a bunch of games as well. Like, they have, because the judges want to see every nook and cranny of the documents again, they have announced the release date for Perfect Dark. That's coming in 2026.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very cool.
Surprised that they decided to, like, announce it now with all the...
In a fucking court case.
Yeah, that as well. But I'm surprised that it is still that long way ago. Still a long way to go, despite it being announced. But I guess that's they have to announce now lah for recruitment stuff in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Still.
And then I'm just looking at the list because I'm looking at Reddit game r/games. Then we have the email that Phil Spencer, Xbox head, has said that. They announced to make all Bethesda games exclusive after they literally bought over Bethesda that year, that same year, in 2021.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then, blah, 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 something about money, not enough. Oh, yeah, here's a funny one as well from Microsoft. They say that, you can remember like in the last few years we said that they're trying to push the narrative, they are punching up, right? We are the giant killers. Before this acquisition of Activision, they tried to buy Bungie and Sega all together, both at the same time. Both of them fell out.
Bungie and Sega at the same time. Oh, yes. Man.
And both of them fell out.
Sega. Bungie is a very big miss because, you know, they come knocking at PlayStation and I don't think the sum was that big. I guess people at Bungie just said, nah, we don't want to buy.
Nah, not never. Not again.
Not after Halo.
Sega is interesting. Yeah, Sega is interesting.
Sega, I've seen them quoting. Like, you see that...
Persona stuff, kan? Yeah.
Even before the Like a Dragon push. And then the fact that both Phantasy Star Online 2 got a worldwide release because of Microsoft being pushing it for that. And I think it was Sega was the first of the big Japanese companies, the Japanese publishers, and to really let us make us publicly seen to the Xbox fans and community, be on their streams and whatever. It was Sega, and for a time that was Square Enix. Remember the one time where they announced all the Final Fantasy games on Game Pass? That come and that went. It went to PlayStation.
Yep.
But more recently, I don't think they're gonna purchase this, but at least they have good terms lah with Bandai Namco. They have they still like keep the bridge open for stuff with Bandai Namco. But Sega, yeah, I can see Sega being very lovey-dovey with Xbox for a time. Not as much. Like a Dragon won't be on Game Pass anytime soon. Not on day one. But they are pushing, the marketing is very much pushing Xbox side. So I can see why they figure out what they wanted to purchase. I guess the price was very low at that time. But yeah, to the fanboys who like cling on to the whole rumors about this, because this stuff used to be rumors, again. We've heard stories about, is Xbox purchasing Bungie or purchasing Sega before? Do they feel convicted now that actually the rumors were not just manufactured? So what else? in the as do we have in the FTC case? Is it just those fucky-wuckies?
Hello?
Yup.
Oh my God. Oh no, I was talking to my Was I killed by the time agents?
Yes. For a good
What?
chunk of time, but no worries, nobody knows. We've
Oh
edited it
no.
out. We have edited it
Oh
out.
no, I knew. What happened? Ooh.
So yeah.
Where did I stop? Where did I stop?
When I asked about if the fanboys are vindicated now that they all those rumors were somehow actually true.
About who?
About
Is it Xbox or
Sega,
the
yeah, Xbox
what?
trying to purchase Sega and Bungie, because those were rumors at some point of time, kan? It's not,
I think yeah.
nah, they were murmurs about that. It's just that I don't think it's possible, but people
Yeah.
scheme, people think about stuff, people make plans, even though they're not gonna execute them.
Yeah, true. I feel like from Twitter, yeah, just Twitter, you know, there is the cesspool of everybody from the green team and the blue team. Yeah, everybody sounds like what the fuck from both sides.
Now we know the actual console war.
Yeah, now we know each other. Also, before I got cut off by forces unknown, did I talk about the juries yet?
No, you did
What
not.
they have? Oh yeah. So you know what the juries messed up? They were talking to one Bobby Kotick of CEO of Activision. You know the guy, the slimy guy that is the bane of this issue right now. He not only said that he was sad that he didn't get any money from putting a Switch port on for COD. He also blabbered out the next gen version of Nintendo games being on par with PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Lmao. So that
Without hesitation.
next gen Switch confirm.
Yeah, exactly.
The
It's not
Switch.
announced in the press. No, just the man that is it on under oath can just say, oh yeah, there's a Nintendo game coming out.
What's this
Nintendo
Switch?
console coming out.
What's gonna be the next Nintendo Switch? The Switcher? The Switcher? And then
Switch
next, the
you.
Switcherer?
Switch
And then they're gonna end the
you.
generation with the Switcherest.
The Switcherous. Oh my God, like, did you. Nintendo, like, just. Can you just. We are planning out after this, and then y'all, like. And you just standing on the stand, like, okay, here we go.
I mean, the Switch has gone a long time. How
Well,
long was
almost a
it
decade
like?
ah. 2017. Now it's 2030. Almost a decade now.
Well, I wouldn't say a decade, but still a long life.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you say like 2026, is it? Yeah, good time
Yeah,
to
yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, if it's perfect dark winter time and 26, yeah, wait, I can see it.
I'm not saying at 2024, 2025 is still
No,
too
baby.
early.
Totally.
2026 would be okay.
25, 26, yeah, 26.
It's fine. I mean, the fact that even though it is like still one generation less in power, but assuming this is the next gen Switch in terms of it still is a portable console, hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
That
that's pretty good.
that's an increase of performance there.
Dang, like dang, pretty good.
Yeah.
All thanks to Mr. Bobby blabbering his mouth. Very cool, Mr. Bobby Kotick. Very cool.
I love that court hearings are now the source of news.
The
Veil of video game industry is usually like very tightly closed, but because they have to talk about this in court, all the dirty laundry has to be aired out. And not only the dirty laundry, some of them are the stuff that we want to
The
see.
trade secret, yeah, the trade secrets were all here we go. Have fun. So I think there should be like because now is a weekend, so there will be no what was it called? No verdict yet, but I'm guessing I'm leaning towards a no as well. I'm leaning towards I guess the jury gonna go with a no. Because how much Microsoft and Sony messed this up, I think, but I feel Microsoft messed it up even harder.
Yeah, Bobby Kotick
Because
has to find another way to quietly exit the stage. Ah, ha, ha, you have to answer for your crimes.
No wonder BlizzCon company price raised from 100 to $200 this year. My God.
Messy stuff. So how it would be funny how they're gonna announce if the deal is not on.
It's Jover.
the image header again, Xbox cross Activision Blizzard.
It's over.
Yeah,
that was the FTC one. That was the FTC talk, the only news that was this week. And is that the end of the podcast then?
That sounds like the end of the podcast. Wrap it up with a thumbnail.
Yes, fishing. Just put a fishing pole and you're ready.
Fishing pole. You know what? That should. Now that you mention it, Final Fantasy 16 does not have a fishing mini game, so it tries really hard to be an action game. It's not an RPG.
No.
It's not an RPG.
Final Fantasy 15 has fishing. Yeah, yeah.
15
it's
has.
Literally in the first. Yeah, it is the first side stop you visit. Literally. You can go fishing.
There's a VR spin-off fishing game.
There's a VR spin-off fishing game for good measure.
They went hard on fishing and they said not anymore. Not this time.
No, Yoshi P will somehow add fishing.
Post-game
maybe the
fishing.
First DLC. Post-game, yeah.
Post-game pre-update and update one fishing. We can give Clive a hat.
It's just the same head for Final Fantasy 15. They just.
Oh my god. Yeah, again, what fishing?
Fishing what? Alright, then I guess Final Fantasy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, somewhere, finally. There is a lot of interesting pictures where, you know what? I can find a place where, in Valestia, a very interesting place that could have been a good spot for fishing if it had one.
Yeah.
If we had a mini game. Put that and Clive with a fishing hat and just say, yeah, that's it. That's all
that's
you
it.
Need to know. Not gonna. That's it. That's the thumbnail. So yeah, social links.
Alright. This has been Daniels. Apologies if the mic quality is bad because I am literally at a forward operating base. You can follow me on Twitter. That is FL4KY. What do I have right now? I have the review for ironically enough, Activision Blizzard's Diablo 4. Short caption, hell of a good time.
Fishing? No fishing.
No fishing, sadly.
No fishing, okay. See, at least not...
Only... Hack and slash only. No fishing.
No fishing. Shame.
Shame.
Do we still have Anan?
I think Anand has died, so I will talk in for him. You can follow him on Twitter at DR4U1R, I think. Yeah, I think so.
It's Dropnir, DR4.
Dropnir, yeah, there you go.
Try and find him on Twitter.
Yeah, find him on Twitter. Yeah, try to find him on Twitter. He will be next to the F1 sprint results and... and I guess that one game that He hasn't tried. He hasn't tried the password game yet. Yeah. I should show him that.
Soon.
Soon.
And I am Amirul Mekronos Ashraf, MEKRONOS. If you find me there on Twitter, I'm not tweeting a lot for the time being. I need to still sit in my spoiler-free cave hole of a thing until I get my Final Fantasy 16 review out, which is coming soon. What's already out, there's a review for Nimbus Infinity. What's coming soon, there's gonna be a review for Park Beyond as well. What else? I think I've got it. Yeah, we end on the roller coaster ride with that one.
Yay.
With the plug for a roller coaster game. So yeah, that's this is Dialogue, the Game Matters podcast. Yeah, I said this correctly this time around. And
yes. Man, Game of this is the better Game of Thrones games than Game of Thrones by Telltale.
A bit of water in it.
Water.
Oh, core, blimey. If you are listening to this and you have not finished Final Fantasy 16, you get out. The episode's get done. The episode's done. It's done. We played the music. Go away. Come back later. But if you're here to stick around, if you don't mind listening to the weird stories, story spoilers for Final Fantasy 16, come along, because I am now legally allowed to spoil whatever I want, as long as I mention that this is a spoiler full portion of the podcast. You Gucci. Okay, let's go. Oh yeah, I haven't kept up with the conversation of Final Fantasy 16, but are there any developments from people who criticize the game for not featuring all diverse, featuring a diverse race-wise?
Yeah.
have anybody like say, oh now I understand, because that's one of the leading say controversies when Final Fantasy 16 was revealed. And there seems to be not much variety of skin color in the world. Fair critique. I kind of like agree on that. But then I see what the story is supposed to be, and not just the story, the world. You know how messed up Velestia is?
It's Hela?
Hela. And you know how messed up it is? It is a world full of slaves. They do slavery here.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Hey. Hey, have you seen the key art of Clive with that weird, that cool looking tattoo on that cheek? On his cheek?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a tattoo. That's not just a cool tattoo, because that was what I thought. Because, oh yeah, that's a cool tattoo. And then everybody has all the same tattoo. No. Those are branded. They call it, there's a pejorative term for what they call the bearers. Bearers are people who somehow can manifest magic. So the people here in this land, they can be just a normal person. And if you are a normal person, if you need to do your daily things, you might need to use the crystals, because the crystal can summon magic. So the magic can be used to, like, you know, if it's a wind magic, it can blow dry your clothes. Or if it's fire magic, it can light up the stoves. It's like water magic, it can like pull, make what you can put it on top of a well. So you can have a water source. So normal people have crystal to do that. But some people are born with the latent power to use magic on their own without crystals. And for some reason, everyone in the land have like united and say that these people are less than people. We should brand them with that that tattoo there, so we know that they are the bearers and they should not be treated as normal humans. People, they sell bearers. They treat bearers. They treat bearers as less than human. And they're like,
damn. Oh
my god. Okay, you're going this hard. And the fact that Clive, in one particular, because Clive is, of course, he's a royal blood. And yeah, because of royal blood, he's also like, he doesn't have a dominant, at least in the start. He's not dominant, as in he is not a person that can summon an icon. He doesn't have a stand, to put it simply. But he managed to have the blessing of the Phoenix, which it makes him able to wield magic. But because of him being a royal blood, he is not marked as branded, as a bearer. Branded is pejorative, I should remember that. That's basically a slur word. Branded is a slur. So he was, but then the troubles happened where some events that saw most of his family die, but he survived. And he not only survived, but he was taken to be a bearer for another kingdom, the Sambrak Empire. And because of his power, he can summon magic again. Ah, you have to put the tattoo on. Even worse, then later revealed that is not just normal ink. It's poison. If you somehow don't know what you're doing and try to like scar your face off, you will die by the poison.
Oh.
Damn.
Okay. And yeah, and because of Clive having that bearing that brand on his face, yeah, there will be you will do a few quests when he has that thing, and everybody like going around town, everybody just like treats you like dog shit. Like they wonder, oh help, help! Oh not you.
Oh god.
And then like, oh, we're selling self posters and whatever. Shush, Brandon. You showing you scaring off the customers. Oh, god damn it. I just want to buy a potion. So you get to feel like how the struggle of someone having the latent power to do magic. It is harsh. And then you later learn that it's not even just harsh, but the using magic takes a toll on you to the point that if you use too much magic, you will die petrified. So it's a terrible curse always. And then people around you treat you like that. You know, it's a tough world. If you have that mark, you basically like, oh man. So the whole story later on evolved into Clive being like, oh no, I have no country anymore. All my parents are dead. My brother is dead. No, my brother is dead. No, my brother is dead. And then evolved into, no, we have to free the people. This is a journey of emancipation. We're gonna free the slaves. Like, okay. Interesting.
I have an injunction. Anan, have you heard of this anime called Cross Ange before?
I've heard about it, but I don't know the plot.
Do you know what is the plot, the main plot line of the show is? Of that show?
What is it?
A royal gets stripped of her powers and being cast away as slaves. So now they revolt, all the slaves revolt over the ruling party. Where have I heard this before?
Okay, so this is my thing about the story of Final Fantasy 16. For all of its like, it tries so hard. And it's not just it tries so hard. It is done with full intent and care that they want to tell a gritty story, a really dark story. And it still use the same tropes around here and there. Pusing-pusing situ je. The fact that...
I think it's the safest one, pretty much.
The fact that there's an anime with the same plotline has not surprised me because like the story, even though the story tries to do like, okay, we have political intrigue, we have like, we follow the motions of the different nations battling out, look at the family drama, the turmoil within. And yet, the story, from what I feel like, will eventually lead up to, yeah, we have to kill a godlike being, let's go. Ah, surprise, surprise, there's a being beyond comprehension that has appeared, that will appear in the story, that appear in the story.
Yeah, that is a, I don't want to say it, but that is a JRPG trope.
Yeah.
That is the biggest
that,
JRPG
trope. We've... God is dead. Okay.
I had hoped that the story is just Clive doing his revenge bit, destroying all the nations as a result. Gun. Sure, the slaves are free, but we have nothing. I would have wanted the ending to be like, we've done all this. We have struggled to do all this stuff. And for what? We have no nation to run. We have lost everything. But no, God's involved. God damn it. At least for in terms of compared to other Final Fantasies, again, the godlike being is introduced rather early compared to other games. Other games feel like, oh, later on you see like, aha, this is the twist. Looking at you, Final Fantasy X, God damn it, you. Or 9.
Really,
I cannot remember what. At least 13 is like the whole start is the story about, yeah, we have to kill God. Yeah, that's the problem. Despite it try so hard to like appeal gritty, that's why I said that a lot of the use of sex and violence feels like more for what's the word did I say
for sure.
For sure, and yeah.
Shock value.
Shock value. Shock value, that's the word. Much, yeah. Yep. They really just, it doesn't like peter into more interesting storylines. They still like, could have something interesting. No. Back to comfort zone. It could have been something, but at least it's not nothing. But yo, the set pieces are cool though. Oh, have you seen the kaiju battles? Look, okay,
I've seen.
If you have to kill God, at least you kill God in the coolest way possible, right? Like there's a lot of Final Fantasy 16's set pieces are when you are fighting against another dominant, another stand user. So that's why you see. Later on, surprise, surprise, Clive is also a dominant, he's also a stand user, he has Ifrit. Oh, you know Ifrit is also a name of a djinn. Some may say the devil. That's why I keep calling this game Icon Me Cry. Oh, you know, there's also, in the gameplay, again, you can limit break. Which makes you, they call it semi-prime, where you sort of have the elements of your icon, but you are still human. So like for Clive's sake, he's glowing blue and red because of Ifrit's fire. You know what that reminds me? It reminds me of a devil trigger. Bang, yeah. Bang, bang, boom, my icon bang, trigger. Baby. Limit break is just a cool way to say, yeah, this is a devil trigger. And then when they go full icon, they basically like Henshin Agogo, baby. Let's go big. Like a Power Rangers. Like a Power Rangers episode where they become like, okay, let's go full kaiju. And the battles are crazy good. One, because of the music. The music changes genre sometimes. The music is mostly orchestral, right? In the main game. But then suddenly, electronica. And then suddenly, hip-hop. Hip-hop during a battle of giant kaijus. And it gets even wilder. You know, I think it's a Power Rangers episode or something. Or something of that sort of show lah. Where you see like two heroes, giant heroes combined to become one kan. You know that trope? Yeah, where you suddenly like, oh, okay, let's combine our forces together and you can see, oh, we become a stronger version where two become one. Oh yeah, that's there. Oh yeah, that's there.
Yeah.
And it looks freaking cool. Ifrit and the Phoenix combine to become, and it's not Transformers. I forgot what it's called.
Star Transformers. Oh my god.
And then you fight in space. For no reason, you go to space.
Oh, no, okay, I don't want to keep seeing people saying Azura Ref. Oh, okay, now it makes sense.
You go to space. Okay, have you seen Bahamut yet?
No, I've seen the space one. I've seen the Azura Ref, homage.
Okay, you know Bahamut is usually a dragon. But in this game, man, the way Bahamut looks is like, there's like appendages on its wings that looks like it's carrying a railgun or two or three or four. And funnily enough, the projectile it shoots is usually non-elemental, but in this game it shoots element of light. But the sound of light sounds like laser beam sounds, like pew 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 pew. And hence why you go to space. Bahamut goes full strong mode and then it becomes like a spaceship. What the heck? And that's not even the end. That's just the mid game. I don't know where they go from here. Like before, it's just like, okay, we encapsulate a large plains of land and we fill it with just like wind and tornado. Good luck fighting a giant being. And then from there we go, okay, you fight in the desert, you a giant kaiju, and then your enemy is a giant kaiju times 1000. Literally, you are just a small fly against the titan. Like Attack on Titan. Yeah. Oh, funnily enough, the titan is like Attack on Titan, but even bigger. And then Bahamut, you go to space. So now, what now? What next? I have no idea, but I'm looking forward to find out. Yeah, and after those long battles, that's a good reason why you need a really long break, because oh my god, that is like, you go from a really, really high adrenaline pumping moment to, okay, we need to calm down before we reveal more plot. No, I do not want to do another round, another level yet. No, put in the padding, put in the content padding first. So that's why they managed to do the pacing well. Because when they go hard, they go really, really hard. So yeah, I guess that's the spoilers for Final 16. Unless you have any more questions. Any wilder things that you have spot in the wild?
No, not really. All of it that you said, I've already said on the tube of the U.
then you have seen the Natalie Dormer character who have the smirk of a Natalie Dormer. My goodness. That's why I say this game really reminds me of Game of Thrones. Ah. Oh my god, they even got the smirk. just the kaiju battles alone is
$700, yeah, $70.
Yeah, $300 game, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing that they managed to nail it out of the park. Despite having they have to like make drastic changes lah. They have to like shred a bit more of the RPG bits. Funnily enough, I think God of War is now more RPG than the Final Fantasy now. How weird how things go these days, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I have no more thoughts to say other than see you at Game of the Year discussions. We're gonna talk about Final Fantasy 16 again.